Right now it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. Of course, Jim joins us on Tuesday mornings. He is, of course, a person that has just an amazing amount of experience, an independent voice on Wall Street, politics, sports. He brings over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more, and we like to welcome him in on a Tuesday morning. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. I hope everybody's fine. And let me give you something that is personal for everybody and maybe could be helpful to you at this stressful time. I came across an article on the internet. It's called Five Natural Ways to Boost Your Mental Health During Stressful Times. And it's written by a woman named Sandy, S-A-N-D-E-E, Lamott, L-A-M-O-T-T-E. And that's on CNN Internet. Now, I read the article thoroughly. I'm very comfortable in passing it on because none of the approaches are weird or strange or hurtful. And I happen to have done most of these things in my life, be it Tai Chi, yoga, meditation, certainly enough exercise, breathing, focusing on my sleep, and so forth. It's a well-done article. It'll take you about 2 minutes to read. It's very clear. But I'm keeping this on my page here because I want to keep referring to it. The idea is these approaches, deep breathing, meditation, exercise, not crazy weights, but exercise 3 times a week, will bring the mind and the nervous system and so forth in concert with peace and the ability to think and to make rational decisions without being overly influenced by the incredible amount of negative stuff that we are dealing with. So it's CNN. It's a quick read, and I would really suggest you read this and keep it with you as we're going through this crisis, which is really taking impact on mental health. And it's not just having to stay home. It's having to deal with the violence in the air and the mistrust and so forth. But let's get beyond that. Please look at this, read it. And if you had any question on it, not that I'm an expert, I've done this stuff, you can give me a call. The point is, this stuff is scientifically backed. The traditional Chinese exercises like Tai Chi and Qigong, these things have been tested over centuries. So do yourself a favor and get with it and take care of yourself in the process.
And you know,
now,
another
the things that we have to deal with are not very pleasant, no. And to say the least. But I do want to start off with the brother of George Floyd, who was murdered. It's on the video. I mean, it was a murder. And this brother yesterday went to Minneapolis and basically he had a little shout out for his brother, but he had a very wonderful commentary on his feelings and how he would like people who are protesting to act on behalf of his brother. And it goes something like this. He is very angry, as is his family, very upset, but he's pulled himself up by the bootstraps and said, listen, if you want to honor my brother, if you want to honor this cause of greater civility and greater equality, then please protest, but don't riot. Don't do anything violent. And it's a message that I'm glad someone like this, who is really, really a victim of this horrendous thing, has the guts to stand up for himself and his family in America and say, please, please, if you want to mourn my brother, mourn him by not doing violent things and help us all to get this thing back together.
Yeah.
So hats off to him and his family, and hopefully they'll proceed steadily in the law enforcement Minnesota and get this behind us.
Now,
the thing is this, it continues to be very disturbing. It happened during the pandemic, when the scientists were saying, hey, it's here, it's bad, it's going to be worse. And the leader of the country for 2 months denied it, said it'll just go away, then got into, we've got more tests than you can believe, and basically was lying to the public that he's charged to protect. So a tremendous amount of mistrust was created there, but the president didn't want to acknowledge his responsibility because he felt it would hurt him in the election. And now, yesterday, we have one of the crassest moments in this whole administration, in that there was a peaceful group. I was watching it as it was happening in the park near the White House. These people were just milling and talking to one another. They didn't. I don't recall seeing many signs. And then all of a sudden, I noticed the cops kind of moving in. And I said, hey, what is this? This is going to be a confrontation. And what happened is, not only did the cops move in, but all of a sudden, mounted police started moving into the crowd. The crowd was doing nothing. But what they did, they used tear gas. They dispersed this very peaceful, and I witnessed it, thing going on opposite the White House. And lo and behold, what happened? The president suddenly appears, and he walks to a church, I believe it's St. John's, adjacent to the White House, and he has his whole his group of enablers with him walking across. He gets in front of the church, and all of a sudden, someone gives him a Bible, and he holds up the Bible. And it's like, it's one of the stupidest, but ignorant, but obnoxious, but outrageous, unpatriotic thing I've ever seen in my life. And more each passing hour, I have to tell you folks out there, please be careful as you come and go. Avoid crowds. If anybody is yelling and screaming, get out of there, because there is a virus now beyond the corona, and it's called the Trump virus of hate. And he's putting it out there. He's saying, okay, I'm calling in the military, which is illegal. He's thinking of calling in the military. Now, the governors have got to request it. But the point is, you're trying to assuage the situation. You're trying to bring peace, not only peace to the poor people who have been hurt, but peace to the whole populace. He is putting us all at risk. Already we've seen one or two of the people on the ground representing networks shot with rubber bullets. It wasn't they were intended to, but there was a misfiring. This is very dangerous. So main thing, take care of yourself, stay out of the way, and get yourself as mentally and physically prepared as you can as we're going through this.
Now, Jim, I want to jump in. I want to jump in on this because what I saw yesterday. Listen, anybody who's out at 11 o'clock at night breaking into stores should be subject to arrest, and if they try to flee, apprehension. I'm all for that. But peaceful protest is one thing. And what happened yesterday brought me back to Kent State, and they weren't just police officers; they were federal. They were federal agents that came in and did that to those peaceful protesters. So Donald Trump could have his picture taken in front of the church. Now, what upset me is the fact that if you go back, I think it's 50 years, 45 or 50 years to Kent State, when the young troops were ordered to fire, they were just kids, and they fired. And the people who were killed, by the way, at Kent State were not even in the protest. That's something to hold to. But Americans shooting Americans. Now, the act at which the president claimed that he could activate the military, there is an act where he can activate the military. Absolutely, he can activate the military and National Guard in every state. But the person who pushes the button to make those soldiers in those states are the governors of those states. Now, those National Guard troops, they definitely can be activated by the president. But the person in each state that is responsible for letting those actions happen are the governors, not the president of the United States. Now, what made what happened yesterday afternoon even worse was when the pastor came out from the church and said, A, it shouldn't have been done, B, didn't ask permission, and three, they didn't agree with what happened. It was an unbelievable shaming moment for the United States. I don't think for the president, because they don't get, or his cabinet, they don't get ashamed, but it was an unbelievably low moment in American history. And instead of coming out, like I've been saying this all week long, instead of coming out with the president and with Nancy Pelosi and with the head of the Senate, McConnell, and each one of them together pleading for restraint and control, the president has decided to go on an attack basis. And we are now sitting, Jim, you and I and other people lived through the riots after the death of Dr. Martin Luther King, the summer riots, which were race riots. We've lived through all what happened in the South and other states with people of color being subjected to hangings, lynchings, murders, and never people being held to account for it. We've been subject to, we saw Kent State, which I just talked about. And the road that this president has chosen to go down is a very dangerous road, because if you want to stop the protesters that are breaking into stores, you're just going to have to put a bigger police presence out when a city declares a curfew. The police presence should come out when that, about a half hour before the curfew is enforced, and start patrolling. And anybody still out at that point is not just a protester who is doing it peacefully. It's obviously somebody that wants to create trouble. But Jim, we are at such a point now in this country. I don't know. And this is, you know, we have gone back 50 to 70 years in race relations with the distrust between anybody of color and anybody who's white. It is absolutely a horrifying moment. And people that are young, who only had lived under a President Obama as a president, they are shell-shocked right now, whether they're white, black, red, brown. And somewhere, somehow, finally Joe Biden came out and made some comments yesterday and did some things that showed what had to be done. He should have come out much sooner, but at least he came out and did what he did. But if the president keeps up on this tact of attacking and having actual soldiers shoot and possibly kill other Americans, this is a pivotal point right now for this country. And we're only months away from an election. So you can imagine that if the president does this now, what will he do? What will he do with executive orders when it comes time for the election? That's what has to be in the back of everybody's mind, in my opinion. And folks, that's my opinion, not the people who underwrite here, who work here, who volunteer here. It's my opinion only. Okay, Jim, the floor is yours.
It's my opinion as well. And I don't work there. Anyhow, well said. Very well said, Marshall. And I don't want to be too quick, but and say, well, this is all the trademarks of a possible civil war. I don't think we're going to get it. I don't think we're going to get there. It's not that I'm optimistic. It's just that there are too many other things that just might get in the way. However, I think it's very important, particularly for people who have teenagers or young adults to really go over with them something, as Marshall just said, regarding our past history in this race situation, to explain to them the aggrievement, rightly so, on the part of people of color, and just help them to understand it. It's understanding is the key to solving something. And right now, unfortunately, I think a lot of our people are really not that well educated. I just don't mean in this situation or this hysterical past, but generally speaking, it's really a time for families to get together and to sit down. Marshall has referenced it several times over the years. Get the family together and have dinner and just wear your mask, okay? But this is an important time to wear the mask, have distance. But you got to talk this thing out. We can't lose our country. That's what is happening here. We're losing our country to a person who is I don't know what to say. He's crazy, but I have other words. But I want to point something out. A fellow named Larry Schwartz, who wrote for Trump, The Art of the Deal, in the last several years, he's been out recanting that he ever wrote it because he's seen what monster he's created. And he made a comment last Friday night, I believe. He did an analysis of Trump on Ari Melber's show on CNBC. And it went something like this. He has decided, after talking and reviewing and this and that, he's known Trump for 30, 40 years. He has said the problem with Trump is he needs to dominate. He needs to dominate anything or anybody, and he doesn't care. He doesn't care that it works for him, shall we say, professionally or monetarily. Just the idea that he can dominate is important to him. And I said to myself, I guess it was yesterday, the days go so quickly. But in his speech to the governors, he used the word, you must dominate, the police must dominate. The police were never intended to dominate. They were there to help and protect and guide and keep civil order, but certainly not dominate the life or lives of any individuals. So Marshall mentioned it earlier. The election's coming. You got to get on tiptoe here and figure out everybody who you might vote for in your area. Obviously, the presidential thing as well. But you've got to school yourself, because there are a lot of people in government who are willing to turn on a dime and support negativity like this to get ahead. A guy on the FCC, a young Republican who's on that committee, he's come out, and all of a sudden, he's lashing anybody who doesn't like Trump. He's obviously making a play to become the head of that agency in time. This is what you have to be wary of. And if the fake news, it's so, you know, if you could look at Trump's mind, it's a mirror. Fake news is Trump. It's not anything else. It's him. He has these ideas, nutsy, fake, and crazy. I don't know what they are, but they are harmful to us. They are dangerous. This man is a danger. He must go. And I know we have all this stuff on our plate. I don't know what's Nancy Pelosi is thinking on. Or Schumer, or hopefully some Republicans. But this guy is dangerous. I mean, he could have us in a war overnight.
Here's the clear delineation. The protesters that were pushed out of the way yesterday, during the day, I'm not talking about the rioters at night, but no one in the administration, and I mean no one, mentioned anything about the armed people in Michigan who, even though it's legal to carry arms, broke into the legislature building, stood in front of the governor's office with guns. If anybody needed to be ushered out of a place quickly by police, that was the case. This is the delineation and the problem with the president's policies. It is so obvious that if you are poor or if you are a person of color, that you are not at all thought about by this administration. And it involves more than just people of color, like I said. It involves women. It involves anybody who is not making a lot of money. We live in dangerous times, Jim. We only have about a minute and a half left. I'll let you finish up.
I do want to say this on a positive note. We have seen policemen throughout the country at various protests and so forth take a knee. We have seen cops embracing protesters. We have seen cops supporting those people. We have seen the head of the Houston police force say publicly to the president, please keep your mouth shut. You're causing problems. We have, I'm telling you, because it's irrational not to believe it, countless people in law enforcement who are disgusted by this. If you're an officer anywhere and you go home at night or go down the street and people know you're a cop, trust me, they look at you nine ways to Sunday sideways because, hey, here comes the violence. So support the police as best you can, certainly the protesters, not the violence. Speak up coherently and fondly and supportive of all who are near and dear. And go back to this mental health thing we started with and the physical thing. You got to be in shape.
All right, Jim. Let's hope next week is better.
Jesus. Amen, brother. Amen.
All right, we'll
say
speak.
Hi to everybody.
All right, we'll speak to you later. Take care.
Night. Bye-bye.
Jim Lynch, Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio. And once again, as I did in the middle, I'll do it right now. All the opinions expressed are those of the people who gave them, not of the underwriters, the volunteers, or anybody else associated with Tri-State Public Communications.